Pop it, everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Except when he's in the garden.
It's
garden season.
Garden season.
The segment of the pop everybody loves the most.
When we're on tour and people come through the line and they're like, you know, hey, I love listening to the pop. You got me into gardening. I'm like, wow.
Wow. Mission accomplished.
Yes, I know. I mean, it makes me filled with joy every single time. It reminds me once upon a time, I think we were talking a lot about like my 75 hard challenge, which is like the 75 days of like extreme fitness endeavor.
We have to do like 7 workouts a day or something.
Yeah, well, not 7 a day, but it was 2 a day.
2, okay,
two per day.
Still pretty good.
Pretty good. But I remember, I think somewhere in like the SCB sphere, people were like, yeah, I always kind of zone out during the fitness conversations, and I'm like, man, I wonder how people feel about the gardening conversations.
Well, get ready for one.
I'm going to try to bring as much high energy as I possibly can to carry us through it.
All right.
I feel like we had ourselves a very solid development because, I mean, we've said it before, but I'm starting to understand why, like, grandma's finest red tomatoes are, like, something to actually to be, like, respected and given the proper mystique that they deserve. Because you know, gardening is like one of those things where it's like if you knew someone in your life and they were like, yeah, I'm big into gardening, it's almost as if you're like, well, why don't you go and find like a hobby that actually like involves doing things.
Oh my goodness, yeah. You know? Like, you know what though, gardening is it's a labor intensive sport, you know.
Yes, it's like any preconceived notion that like my 21 year old self would have had towards the idea of gardening was just fundamentally categorically incorrect.
Right.
Like right now, this past weekend at your house, we've gone through like a stair step process where we cleared the area in year one in order to have a plot in order to grow vegetables.
Right.
And involved with that was you borrowing a rototiller from like a childhood down the street neighbor.
Right. Yes.
You know, and that was sort of like we carved our path.
We did it.
And then
cleared the land. We tilled it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It sounds like so much more impressive than like a 15 by 15 square is. But
sure.
But either way, we did that. And, you know, we ran into the initial problems on the Jay's home front where Bazooka Jack,
you know,
it entered the conversation.
Well, the first year we were pretty good.
Like, had decent results. Nobody had found it yet.
No one had found it yet.
You know, so it was just like it just got to like live where it was.
We got like 1 year of glory, and like we put up a fence. You know, like it was, but it was just the wire. There was no metal. You know, it was just like a mesh garden fence.
Oh right, yes, with kind of like wooden stakes to like as like a rough like barrier from, you know, you're keeping the honest rabbits.
Right, we're keeping the rabbits honest. You know, they're not getting through there. We staked it in, but then the next year, it got bad. It got bad. The deer came and they said, "What's this fence? I don't even care. I'm gonna jump right over it. It's not even here."
The deer are like, I love a good farmer's market, you know, and it's like right from the vine too. Goodness, man.
They were ready and they came hard and they won. You know,
they did. Bad. Yeah, they won the battle, and then you know, come last year, we're like, okay, now we mean business. Like,
yeah,
we went out and we bought like real lumber. You know, we built like a 6-7 foot tall fence, complete with like multiple layers deer fencing, wire fencing.
That's right.
You know, like we were like, all right, this is you know, now we have like a fully protected, isolated space.
We do.
You
know, yes,
you can't like, interfere with this.
We got it. We are not playing around here, deer. Yeah. Get out.
Right.
And you know what? They stayed out. But you know who didn't, Ben? The weeds. Now, the weeds were bad, for sure. For whatever reason, the past couple years, like, there were some weeds, but it wasn't like overwhelming.
Sure.
You know, I'm not sure what changed this year. I'm not sure how they got in so bad and so thick, but it was bad. And combined with that was I did my compost last year, which was great, but it did introduce some just like some volunteer plants, you know.
Oh yes, yes.
That were just like, oh, we growing? You want a pumpkin in here? Okay. And
one really large sunflower?
Yeah, one really large sunflower. They're like, great, 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 great. We are in. And I was like so high on the idea of like, oh my gosh, it's just sort of fun if we have a pumpkin plant that we didn't even account for.
Yes.
That like, realistically, I should have just pulled it. I should have just been like, nope, get out. You're going to take over the garden. But I didn't, because I'd be like, oh my God, this is so fun. Like, great. Who even cares if I get a pumpkin? That's not even a bad thing.
You let the whimsy take hold of you like a fish hook into a fish's mouth.
Exactly. I was like, it's so whimsical to have grown a really cool big thing like this that I didn't even try for. And I don't even mind getting a pumpkin. So who cares? Like, fewer cucumbers, couple pumpkins, great. We'll make our own jack-o'-lanterns. It'll be awesome. End of the day, not many cucumbers. Pumpkins took over what the weeds didn't. And it was overall...
Were you able to collect any pumpkins from it?
Nope.
So we allowed the pumpkins to grow only to yield zero pumpkins.
Exactly. Yeah.
It seemed like something was going in and eating your large yellow flowers that are supposed to blossom, you know, from like pollination zone into the fruits.
Yeah, it did seem like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
You mean like the, like the pumpkins.
The pumpkins,
It did seem like something maybe was getting in. I don't know what. because that shouldn't have happened.
Foiled again. So anyway, this year we've now reached our next installment of progress, and we have opted to construct raised beds.
Yes.
And you know, this was one of those classic projects where it was sort of like we woke up on a Saturday morning, we tended to like our parental duties, you know, did all the necessary mm-hmm. like first things you do on a Saturday morning type tasks,
right? Yeah. And then we made the breakfasts, we got the kids sorted.
That's right. And then around 11 we devised our plan, you know, which involved purchasing no fewer than 31 lengths of 2x6,
yep,
as well as 36 like concrete molded bricks that we can like, you know, weave together in order to create the structure itself.
Right.
All of this with a time frame of me needing to depart, so, you know, around 3:45.
Right.
Best case scenario. So, you know, I bring Addison over to your house. We depart for the hardware store. We get all of our materials, which is also just like one of those like processes where you underestimate, like, okay, you go into the building, you collect your cart, you load the 31 lengths onto the cart, you then go through, check out the 31 lengths, then you go to the truck where you load the 31 lengths, and then you take it to the house where you unload the 31 lengths.
Yeah.
You know, and then also include 36, probably...
cement blocks.
Yeah, like 14-pound cement blocks each.
Right.
And so now I feel like I have like one of my favorite pieces of soreness, which is the, I call it my thumb meat. And it's like
that thumb meat.
It's almost like if you could imagine like a chicken wing, you know, it's sort of like you've got your thumb and then right at the base of it is this
it's like the drumstick.
It's like the real puffy part of your thumb.
The thumb stick, if you will.
And I'm like, whenever that part of me is sore, I'm like, this is what is creating my like ironclad handshake. Mm. You know, it's like, oh yeah. Now that's the kind of sore that, you know,
that's it.
People don't pay enough attention to the thumb meat.
No, they don't. Yeah.
My thumb meat, I'm feeling it today.
There was a lot of that. We had to carry a lot of grip strength growing on carrying cement blocks across the yard.
Yes, we absolutely did. So given our limited time frame and enormous task of collecting materials, we were able to successfully build one perfectly level raised bed garden.
Yes we were. So we've got one. And it was also funny how as we were going along, like we went out there and walked through the garden first, and we're like, all right, so my general plan is kind of like, I'm thinking like four rows here, like four maybe.
Yeah, right. Yes. You know? Yes.
And we're like, yeah, okay. And then so it's this many feet, and that means we'll have this much space in between them. Yeah, that should work. That should work, I think. Right.
Yeah.
And then we get back and, We're like laying them down and we're like, you know what? I'm thinking we're not going to be able to do four. We're probably just going to have to do three.
Yep.
Based on what we bought here. But then we lay out the three and it's like, well, that leaves us about like 3 inches between each box.
Right.
So I'm thinking where we thought we were going to have four and then three big ones, now we're going to have like three narrow ones instead. But then even when we built the first one, it was like, no, the first one's still massive. Like,
What we ended up, I think that it was a very humbling process for like a relatively small space, as we say, very quickly. Cause like once you start assembling everything, you see it in the space, you're like, okay, well we need to make sure you still have the ability to like tend.
Right. Yeah. You gotta be able to walk. Like part of the advantage is having like little rows in between them so that you can walk between them and, you know, admire your work and tend to them without having to like bend over and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So a bit of a challenge on that particular front, but we were able to get it put together, and I do not think you were going to be short for space at all.
Nope. Don't think so. That was part of it too. Was like, I got out there in the morning. I'm like, why am I even doing this? Why don't I just plant it in the ground again? Like, what is this, like a giant like waste of time? Like, what am I doing?
I mean, once we were all said and done, I thought it looked exceptionally good.
It looked extremely good. Yes. I'm like, that's just that, like, you know, second guessing yourself every step of the way.
I understand. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Yeah. I also have a story of that as well to bring up later in the episode. But I'm desperately eager because like now we need to go through and there's like a new problem that starts to arise because one, we need time to go out there and construct the remaining pieces of what's left. So yeah. we need to build the other two. But there is sort of like a classic, it takes you twice as long to do the first one and then, you know, half as long to do the subsequent two. So
right.
I bet we'll get the next two done in the speed that it took us to do the first one.
Yeah, I think it'll go faster.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot about like all the little like weird shimmies and how to level it and, you know, where everything goes and all that type of stuff. So I think that'll happen. But then we have the unusual task, and it was like, it's kind of funny because it's like, where do you get the dirt from?
Right.
And like, you know, I know like when I did my trough gardens, you know, at my house, because I've got the like almost like tractor supply metal bins that I do all my garden stuff in, which was nice because then I didn't have to like build them or anything. You know,
right.
I drilled holes in the bottom of them and filled them with gravel. So there's like good drainage and stuff like that. But I also put in a fair few like logs that I had from like my firewood stack.
Right.
To sort of like fill in the bottom. So
right.
That's always like an option. Like, you know, fill up some dead space with something that's not dirt.
Right.
You know, because
there's like big logs. I was reading like the advantage of doing logs is one that it takes up a bunch of space, which is good.
Yes.
It also helps like suppress weeds from the bottom. Also very good.
Yeah, we love
because,
that.
Because, you know, weeds don't care. They're like, hey, you put like 5 feet on top of us, we'll just grow 5 feet, no bigs.
That is the most frustrating thing in the world about weeds, is that like, think about all the effort we're going to try to like successfully grow like, you know, what is probably the equivalent of $30 worth of tomatoes.
Right, yeah.
you know, but you know, then weeds, you put them under 5 feet of dirt and they're just sort of like, yeah, we'll find the sunlight.
Yeah, like we'll get there.
Come on.
We're the worst. But you can also put down like cardboard in the bottom and stuff. That'll like break down and help suppress weeds as well.
Okay.
But then the other thing about logs is that they just like, they hold a lot of water as well.
Oh,
so
good,
like
yeah.
Even they can be like if it gets dry, like they can kind of like leach water back out into the soil and stuff.
Oh, good.
So that's good.
Okay. So we definitely need to find some logs.
We need to get some logs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw in the bottom there. That'll be something. Plus I think, you know, I'm going to scour every area around my, like, you know, backyard for as many like sticks and just rogue stuff that I can throw at the bottom. Plus then you can do like dead leaves and stuff. That'll take up some space.
Oh, hey, you know what? Honestly, I might just bring my whole compost heap over to your house. Well, that might be a problem. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's funny though, because it's like you're outside, you're surrounded by earth.
Right.
And then you're asking yourself the question, I'm like, where do we get the dirt from?
Yeah. Yeah.
We even came into the office this morning and, you know, Kat, who does like the office management here at SCBHQ, was like, well, actually I had a friend who just got like 2 tons of dirt and they didn't end up using it all. So you guys could probably get that. And it's like, yeah, that sounds good. It's like
because they still have it on the truck and they just want to drive it over.
Yeah. And dump it in the backyard precisely where we need it. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. By all means.
And it's like, no, it's probably like sitting in a pile in their driveway,
which
it's like, then we have to go, it's the same thing as like the boards, it's like then we have to go pull up my truck, shovel everything into the back of it and then drive it to your house and then shovel it into like a wheelbarrow and then like bring it over and then shovel it into the gardens, and it's like, oh,
right,
gosh, how many times are we moving this dirt?
Right, a lot.
It's backbreaking work. This is what we're saying. You know, it's like gardening is no simple task.
It is no simple task. Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. But I think the thing to do is not even fill it all the way with dirt, but fill it like maybe most of the way with like wood chips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that's like, that'll take up like more space faster, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And you beat it down and stuff.
Digging this idea already.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Where do we get the wood chips?
I don't know. Probably from like a mulch place.
Oh, a mulch place.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I've heard of those.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we can just top it off with the dirt for like the final foot or 18 inches or so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we have a plan. So anyway, I mean, I guess we're definitely coming up on like April here as we're recording. So, you know, we're in good position. I think we can get this done the next couple of weeks for a good planting cycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now we're starting to get past frost season. Everything's going to be great.
Exactly. It's going to be super good. We just got to build our last two and then fill them with dirt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How hard could it be?
It's exactly. Exactly.
And then you start, you know.
Like, I know. All of this is just to get to the part where you plant the stuff. I know. And then you get to watch it grow. That'd be the really great part.
That is the fun part. You know? Yeah. It's like when you start seeing like the little things come out of the dirt and you're like, oh, you exist.
Right. And then next year, you're pretty much there. You just top it off.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all this again.
Right.
It'll be great.
Big progress. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, here's what I was going to talk about as well, because I feel like I'm having like renovation update status. So you're talking about like basically going out there, we're looking at like, oh, we'll do four of them in a row. And then it's like, oh, we don't have room for four. Maybe we'll do three. It's like, even three at that, like that size are not going to fit. There's not enough room now that we're here.
Right.
It's like, okay. And I'm, you know, second guessing everything. It's like, all right, you know, so here's where we're at, you know, because like I say, you know, we're coming up on April. It's March 30th when we're recording. And my renovation started at my house on January 3rd. And it's like, what that means is that like my house has been like, you know, in a state, like, you know, even like I've even had like multiple days where I'm like, I probably should take a sick day, but there's like construction people here working.
Right.
And so it's like, if I were to go like be laying in my bedroom trying to rest, there's like hammers and saws and people talking. And, you know, it's also just kind of like awkward. Like, you know, you get up and like walk to the bathroom and the guys are just like, hey, what's up? You know,
yeah,
like,
right. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like a little like uncomfortable or whatever. So you're living inside of that. And then it's also just like the classic renovation. Like, you've ever watched like any episode of like HGTV or like, you know, flipping a house or any of those types of things where it's like you start with budget X, timeline X, and inevitably you find things you weren't expecting, plans change, new ideas along the way, whatever ends up happening. Everything takes longer. Everything costs more. And that is exactly where we're at now. Like, when I started this whole process, I had like all my ducks in a row. I had like my spreadsheets. I had my plan. I had my quotes.
Right.
You know, like everything was good. Everything was clean. And I knew what it was going to look like. And for the most part, I even like, you know, tacked on like, okay, if I think it's going to take 2 months, just make it 4 months for the sake of it.
Sure.
Like, if I think it's going to cost this much, just add 1.5x to that, because it's going to cost more than you think it is. And so it's like everything is kind of doing the anticipated thing, but like as you start to get to like the narrow end and you're like looking at these like guesses that you made, you know, back in October when you're planning all of this, it's like you're starting to run into like the finish line zip code of all of it. And it's just like, it's like terrifying. You know, you're sort of like, oh my gosh, like what happens if like, you know, the funds run out or whatever before we could like paint the walls,
you know,
I mean, like, and I mean, that's an exaggeration. Like, I'm not worried that would be like an issue, but you're sort of like, oh my gosh, like, we're getting so close to the finish line here. And I feel like as much as I'm so excited to just start like enjoying the space and not having people in my home and, you know, there's dust everywhere and plastic sheeting separating stuff, and you're just like, I just want to know what it's going to be like. I just want to know if all this like risk and time and disruption to my daily life, it's like, I need to know if it was worth it.
Right.
You know, and it's like you're getting tired. I often talk about this too. Like, the last month you live with a roommate is always the worst month, because it's like all of a sudden their weird little habits start to like bother
you.
They
really, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm not, it turns out I was putting up with a lot more than I realized. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. It's exactly like that, you know, and it's like you came into it and you're kind of like head down, you know, like knees apart, whatever. And you're good. That's a reference to Tangled.
Yeah.
In case anybody is like, why knees apart? which is exactly what Flynn says. He's like, knees apart. And then they shoot him up in the air and he lands on Maximus.
And they ride off.
Ride to save the day. But yeah, you know, you got your head down for such a long period of time, and then you start to get to the finish line. It's like, all right, I really want it to be over. I really want to see like the fruits of all the, I wouldn't even say the fruits of our labor. It's like their labor,
right?
You know, like because these guys have been, you know, working their tails off and everything. But goodness gracious, when all is said and done, we're going to have gone from a pigsty of an attic, like it was the dumping zone for like every, you know. Like when you have like a child, for example, there are so many objects that you buy and they're of vital importance for like 8 to 10 months.
Right.
You know, it's like you're like, I don't know how I could live without my Dock-a-Tot.
Right.
You know, which is this like little like cushioned thing that you can set your baby in so they can't like roll over, roll off the couch or on,
right.
you know, yeah, on the
yeah.
floor or whatever. You know, and then once she outgrows it's like you literally have no need for it.
Right.
Like, it is functionally not useful
as a,
you know, but then you're sort of like, well, what if we need it again in the future? So you throw it up in the attic and then
right.
same thing. You know, you've got like little
Swings and walkers and cribs and
all the bits.
High chairs and yeah.
Right.
All
and,
those things.
And because
and they're big.
And they're big. Yeah. And they're not just big, they're like oddly shaped.
They're oddly shaped and
yeah.
big.
Yeah. They've got like weird legs that go in multiple directions for stability purposes. And so all this stuff, you know, has been in this like dumping ground where it's just sort of like we weren't using the attic for anything. It's really out of the way. No guests that come to our house have any reason to see it whatsoever. The staircase going up to it, you know, it's this horrific position to make it so that like even if you walk up there, you have to like duck your head as to like not hit your head on the rafters. And now we walk up there, the staircase has been moved. We put in like skylights. We added new windows. Like, you know, it's like everything is like bright and glorious. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like we're right there.
Right.
We are right there from having turned this like mess of a room into what is going to be the most beautiful space in our entire home. And I just, man, I'm like, my steam is running out and we're moving out of our house so the plaster guys mm-hmm. can come in. So I'm about to go spend a week, you know, at Alice's mom's house while we're just trying to like weather the storm. And anyway, that's my general vent session.
There you go.
I know that like in the scheme of my life, I'll just be glad I said all this out loud so I can like remember what it was like.
There it was. Yeah.
So that's been the status update.
You've been living with renovation for months. It's almost done.
It's almost done.
When you say almost done, do you mean like next week?
No. I suspect another month.
Another month. Okay.
Another month.
Wow.
Yeah. Because even it's like even once all the floors and the walls and all that type of stuff, then we still need like tile and carpet, and it's just like, oh man,
I mean, heck, I could have plants by then, you know?
I know,
right?
I know. I mean, hopefully I will also have plants by then.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real objective.
I know, right? Yeah, everyone's getting their vegetables out there.
Right, right.
I know. Now I'm found like I feel like I'm putting so much effort into this and I haven't even super duper considered like what I absolutely want to grow. Like people are like, "Oh yeah, what are you going to grow?" And I'm like, well, tomatoes and cucumbers, probably.
Right,
know?
Yeah, yeah. The
At classics. Least that, you
right.
know. Otherwise, food, I guess.
Food.
Yeah.
Other things. Yeah.
Other things. Herbs, maybe.
Right, right. I mean, that's the thing, though, is that I think when it really boils down to it, because we keep saying the same thing, it's like, you know, at our gardening skill level, we're getting, like, for, I don't even know, just the boards. I'm just going to, you know, not to out your expense or anything
yeah.
like that, but just the boards for this weekend were like $300 or something.
Right.
And so it's like when you think about like what you could potentially get in produce, it's like negligible. Like you're just simply not getting back the return on investment. And so, I mean, the foods are very good and the, you know, the structure that we built will last
yeah, forever,
you know, for 15 plus years. So,
right.
you know, I'm not concerned that we won't ultimately get the value out of that cost,
yeah,
you know, in the long run or whatever. But the fun, the thrill is just, The growing it,
you
know,
yeah.
it's just getting to see it happen.
Right. You get to do it. You get to be out there every day with your hands in the dirt and, you know, doing your little snips and pruning your tomato plants. And
you're tending soil.
You're tending soil out there, man. You get your watering can. You're like, oh, yeah. How much has it grown? Like, you get to go away for a weekend sometimes and you come back and you're like, oh, my God, 3 whole days have passed. Can you even imagine how much growth has happened?
Right, right. Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You got your sun hat on.
You got your sun hat on out there. Oh, yeah. It's It's great.
Oh man, I got a glorious neck burn.
Oh, so did I.
Did you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got home and Alice gave me a real speaking to.
Oh yeah.
She was like, "You have got to wear sunscreen," and I was like, "I know. Okay. You are correct. And if this happens every year, and you tell me every time, and every single time, I know you're right."
Yep.
And I don't. I think it was because it was cold.
It was cold.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It was like I don't like sunburn. I wasn't concerned at all because I'm out here in my jacket.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And this is the thing too, is that like when it comes to sunscreen, it's like I'm not a naysayer at all. Like if anything, I'm a big fan of something called Super Goop, which is like the sunscreen of choice that ends up like on our boat and around the lake all summer and the beach. You know, if we go take a trip like that or whatever, and it's like, you know, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
You know, and it's like it's very top of mind all summer, but it's the shoulder seasons that get you.
Right. Yeah. You're like you're out there. I mean, because it was like 40 degrees when we're out there, you know, assembling our raised garden bed.
Yes.
Yeah. Like not worried about getting a sunburn right now, but alas, we were in the sun all day and whatever.
Whatever, I know. Yeah. So we, you know, we'll you know what? Next year.
Yeah.
It's just like being excited about Virginia Tech Hokies football. It's like this could be our year.
This could be our year. You know?
It's like this is the year we remember sunscreen.
Yeah.
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 You know, and I actually, you know, so we did yard work with you on Saturday, and then on Sunday I went home and I like spread mulch, I mowed the lawn and did all like my typical things there. And I was like I woke up first thing. I went and pulled out my can of sunscreen because I had like a leftover one, and I had to douse myself.
So, nice.
You know, it's like day one, poor results. Day two, you know, human growth.
Bravo.
Thanks.
Bravo.
Thank you.
You did it.
We did it.
Tremendous.
Okay. Transition.
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. 300 and some odd episodes into doing the pop, and I've started to realize something about Jay and I. Not as hosts, but as people. We frequently seek the need for permission to try something new, whether it's tattoos, growing a mustache, or finally starting that Name of the Wind podcast. And while it's funny to think that I didn't realize this before, I also get it, because starting something new is terrifying. Like, we should only do it on Halloween, so at least we can, like, be on brand for the occasion, right? And when it comes to launching a new business, like, forget it. But Shopify is the tool to take you from the daydream you tell your friends you're considering over drinks to actually doing the dang thing. And if you're trying to figure out how to get the word out, no problem. Shopify helps you find your customers with easy to run email and social media campaigns. Plus, if you get stuck, not to worry. Shopify is always around with 24/7 customer support. You don't need permission. You're more capable than you think. And even if you do find something you can't do, chances are Shopify can. It's time to turn those what ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/poppop. Again, that's shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop.
Jay, you got a new bike.
I did get a new bike. Finally, what feels like years in the making, I have a road bike. And when I say years in the making, there is a like certain amount of like since I've been training for the triathlon. Like last year when I started training for the triathlon, I was like, I probably got to get a road bike because I'll need one. And then like our buddy Mike was like, oh, you can just borrow mine. And I was like, honestly, that might be easier just because then I don't have to go spend all this money on this, you know, on this bike or whatever.
It's hard when the cost of a bike is what the cost of a bike is and you're doing your first one and don't know if you enjoy it yet.
Exactly. Exactly. But my history with road biking is a long series of situations like that where I've never owned my own road bike ever. But our parents have been like cyclists for our entire life.
Yeah, they're, I mean, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I think they are so acclimated to what they do that they don't have any idea that what they do is like as impressive as it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, you'll talk to them on any given Saturday or Sunday morning through, again, spring through fall or whatever, and they're like, yeah, we rode 40 this morning, or, you know, they're just out there like, or, you know, their vacations at this point half the time are like, we're going to go bike across the state of New York.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah.
Normal.
People, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm there are other people there too. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, they've always been great endurance athletes and all that type of stuff. But yes, we would have grown up basically watching mom and dad bring their bikes on every single vacation we ever went on. You know, if we're on a beach trip, they would, you know.
Oh, yeah. They'd get up in the morning and, you know, ride to Shalote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
gotta go across the bridge.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Holden Beach is where we go, and there's this huge bridge that goes. Oh, not huge bridge, but it's this nice, cool arched bridge.
It feels huge when you're on it on a bike. I'm sure
it absolutely does. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it probably provides the only hill anywhere.
Yes, but still, you know, yeah. I feel like they would always come back every morning, and you know, like we're just rolling out of bed or whatever, eating our pastry breakfast,
right? And they've already done 15 miles,
they're,
you know,
dripping sweat, and yeah, right, yeah, it was just always impressive. So anyway, yeah, we've been around it our whole lives, and so there's that. It's surprising, yes, that we haven't had them before now.
It is perhaps surprising, but it's not like I've never been on a road bike. There was times, you know, our dad would be like, oh, you know, me and mom are going for a ride, you want to join us? I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, because I've got an extra one. You know,
right? Yes. So, because dad has two,
maybe three. Who knows at this point? You know, he got two road bikes and a gravel bike and a mountain bike and an e-bike and
Yeah. I mean, he's got like his whole like, you know, garage is just full of his bikes.
Right. Our parents are big bike nerds, is the bottom line.
Yes.
But that's okay. That's a really cool thing to be a nerd about.
I'm sure that they would appreciate the term enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts. Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying to rebrand nerd here. You know.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah, okay. Right. Nerds. Nerds. Yeah, it is.
Total bike nerds. Exactly what they are. But so anytime though, like if our buddy John from GMA fame, John did have a road bike growing up, and he would love to invite his friends to go on bike rides with him.
Yes.
You know, all the time. And like the thing about John's brain is that in his brain, all of his friends are like the most amazing athletes in the world and perfectly capable of keeping up with him and doing whatever he's asking them to do. He absolutely sees the total best in you and believes that you are so capable. And it's a great quality of John's.
It is. Yes. 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 He has undying faith.
Undying faith that you can do it. The problem is that it is just sometimes not true.
Well, it's not only that, he is also an exceptional athlete.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm just completely on his own. And
yes.
Yes. So there's that.
Yeah. So there's that. But he'd be like, oh yeah, you want to go on like a, you know, a bike ride with me? And you'd be like, well, sure. Yeah. Why not? I don't own a road bike, but I could probably go for a bike ride with you, I guess. Let me see if I can like borrow my parents or something.
Right. Yeah. Borrow dad's both helmet and also bike.
Right. Yeah. And shoes, which of course, cause you're riding like a road bike, like you got like the clip in pedals and stuff.
Right.
Right. So you gotta like, am I used to doing that? No, but I guess I'm going to have to wear shoes, that don't fit. Cause of course I'm like bigger than our dad, you know?
Right.
But this is as close as I got. So I got tight shoes on and I'm on his bike, and it's like a really good bike, you know, because he's really into it. However, it's a really good bike for someone of his size, maybe not for someone of my size who's like taller and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah. So you're in the wrong size shoes on the wrong size bike going with someone who bikes all the time on a route that he's familiar with and has planned out ahead of time and is mentally prepared for.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you starts with going up Bent Mountain, because that's where every ride started for whatever reason.
It's like all roads point to Bent Mountain when it comes to bike
all
rides.
All roads. Every bike ride with John was like, so we're gonna start here and then we'll go up to the top of Bent Mountain, and that's like the warm-up. And you're like, say what now? Right. Like that's where the bike, that's like where it begins, you know?
Right. Like, right yeah, plenty of people could just ride Bent Mountain and it would just be like, that's the ride,
that was
like,
the whole ride.
Go
yeah.
home and you've earned an entire sleeve of Oreos.
Literally, Ben, this is not a joke. When I took my brand new bike out for the first time, I was getting on to the parkway with it, and I ran into none other than John's older brother.
No kidding.
And he told me that when he rides, usually what he does is just go to the top of Bent Mountain and then turn around. And I was like, oh, what a classic Jennings start to a ride. except you stopped and turned around.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. This adds
end
up
of ride.
Perfectly. Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. But I've never owned my own bike before. And then I think like anytime I've gone on one of these rides, it's always been on a borrowed bike, and it's always been on like a friend's bike or dad's. And it's like you'll get out there and everyone's always like, it's so much like road bikes so fast. Like, I mean, they move so quick. And I always get out there and be like, I mean, it feels like I'm riding a bike, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's faster than walking.
Right? Yes. It's like, but I don't know. I mean, is it supposed to be easy? Because I mean, yeah. It's like,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Like, it feels easy going downhill.
Like, but think about a road bike, man. You could crank those gears so high that you could be pedaling downhill, no problem.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on a very similar note, I went on one of these rides with John back in the day. And we went up, there's a road in Roanoke that we referred to in our cross country days as the wall.
The wall.
And it's because it's like a, I would call it like a nose scratcher, which is to say that when you're going up, like if you're walking up it, it's almost like the ground given the angle is close to your nose.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that steep.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like, so then when you go down it, like, especially if you start gearing up or whatever, it's like, I've ridden on, again, dad's road bike, and per his bike computer, I was going like 55 to 60 miles an hour.
It's crazy.
Down the wall.
Too fast.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where it's like, in the moment I was, you know, 16 and just sort of like, whoa, what a big number. That's so cool.
Right.
Now looking back on it, I'm like, if I had crashed, I would have just slid on asphalt for long time.
So far. I remember I've only gone down it, I think, once on a bike with John. And like, I was like hitting the brakes and stuff on the way down. But it's like, it's almost like you can't hit the brakes too hard because like, if you hit them too hard, you're just going to slide out.
Yeah.
You
know? Yep.
Like,
yep.
You're almost going that fast. And then like, I remember there's like a bit of a gentle curve, if you will. But I remember like going down this and like the bike just sort of like drifting over to the other side because like the centripetal force is just like, well, the road's turning, but we're going so fast in one direction that we're pulling you this way.
Right.
And just like looking up and being like, there's a car in the other lane. Like, I just, oh my gosh, you know? Like, it's, yeah, I'm like, I'm like, no, kids, you're not allowed to go down that. You're not going down that at all. I have no desire to go up or down the wall as an adult.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, half the things we did, I'm like, God, if mom and dad only had any idea, they would. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's like,
Chris, they listened to this show, so now they do.
now they know all the antics that we got into. But, you know, it's like when you think about like crawling through a stormwater drain, you know, on a cloudy day, it's like, you know what happens when it rains in stormwater drains?
Water comes down there.
Yeah. And we were in those,
you know, for fun.
And the thing is that it's like we talk about this and it's sort of like we as if what we were doing was this like unachievable task. It's like, it wasn't that hard to get in them.
No,
it was just like, once you're in it, the idea of continuing forward is the poor idea.
Right. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But you know, anyway, we made it.
But we did it.
So there's that, but I don't encourage it.
Yeah. But the point is that now, at long, long last, I have my own personal road bike to train on and race with.
Yes.
And I went to the store, and you know, they had like, I was looking for a specific size, and they had it. They had like one bike there, which was great because it was like one of the two bikes that I had like pre-scoped out ahead of time. And I was Perfect. Like, I basically want either this or this, and this is what you have, so pretty solid. No complaints or whatever. Got out, purchased it, went for my first ride the following morning. Just got out on the Blue Ridge Parkway, decided to go through there. And it's like the difference was like so obvious in like, having like a bike that fits.
Right, the proper fitment.
The
is,
proper fit, yes. Like, there's no doubt that like going up hills, it's like, you know, it's hard. They last forever, it feels like, on the parkway.
Right.
And you can just like, you know, you're kind of in that like peanut butter zone where it's just like, yep, I'm going. But like, compared to past bike rides where I felt like, oh my gosh, as soon as I was going uphill, it is basically suffering.
Right.
Like, this was like, okay, it's hard, but I feel like every pedal stroke is like more than the sum of its parts, you know, like it's propelling me up, even if I'm only going up at like, you know, 6 to 9 miles an hour.
Right. It's you start to appreciate the extremely highly engineered, efficient vehicle that you're propelling forward.
Yes. Yes. So I've gone for two rides since I've gotten it. And I mean, I basically just went on the same ride twice, but They have felt good. I mean, I certainly feel tired at the end.
Sure.
But I am at least covering the amount of distance needed for the triathlon. And I know that the triathlon isn't nearly as hilly as the parkway. So I'm already feeling pretty good about that.
That's going to be pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something tells me, I don't know if you even know your time from last year, but it would not surprise me in the slightest if you beat it by 15 minutes.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know for reference sake if this really helps or not, but like when we were running like cross country, like you run like a 5K, like the idea, like a 15 second PR would be like a big day, you know, like, yeah. It would be the type of thing that like coach would give you like a special shout out at the next day's meeting,
right?
You know, it would be like, whoa, and you know, good for Carlin,
yeah,
like,
15 seconds,
right? Yes. And the whole room would give you like the obligatory applause or whatever. So
right,
yeah, to shave off that, of course it's a much longer event, so minutes make more sense when you're
right.
When you're doing, you know, 5K is just one leg, but
right, yeah. And I mean, like 5K, you know, can take, you know, especially in like high school, might take between, for regular people, like 17 to 20 minutes.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, yeah. So shaving 15 minutes off your 5K time of 17 minutes would be,
yeah, you'd just be the bolt of lightning.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. At that point in time, people would be like, well, aliens exist.
Aliens exist. You're one of them.
It's like, because this was otherwise physically impossible.
Right. But I mean, for the swim, I think, yeah, I do have my time last year. I think I could probably get like 2 minutes back on the swim. I bet I could realistically get like 10 minutes back on the bike, and the run, I bet I could even get, yeah, like maybe like 5 minutes back or something.
Okay.
Like, okay. It's hard to say, of course. And then even in transition, I bet I could scrape some time back, because I wasn't exactly like trying to zoom through transition or anything. That, but all that counts.
That's a big one. I remember like mom and dad, like when they were younger doing their triathlons and stuff, it's like you start to like, or even like, I mean, like when you watch some of these guys, they will have their shoes pre-clipped into their bikes, and they will pedal barefooted. Like they'll run in from the swim and they'll pedal barefooted, like on top of their shoes, and then as they're hitting the road, they will like literally be like easing their foot into each of the shoes, so they're putting their shoes on while cycling,
they're doing it, yeah,
out of the parking lot. And it's like, I mean, they're trying to find available time everywhere. But yeah, that's the min max scenario. Yeah,
I'm probably not doing that just yet.
Maybe not quite there, but yeah. You know what, there's opportunity for growth.
Exactly. I mean, I'll have it all laid out, and hopefully like be a little quicker between in T1 and T2.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's
T1,
the plan.
T2, look at you with all,
I know,
your
those
vernacular.
Those are the terms, you know.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So how long, today again, March 30th, how long, what day is race day?
It is, I believe, May 2nd.
So we got about a month.
We got like, yeah, we are right about at a month. Let me double check exactly. It is, yeah, May 2nd.
May 2nd. Okay.
There we go. We are about a month out. We got 4 weeks of training left.
All right, let's see it.
I know.
Let's go.
I'm excited. I think we can do pretty good this year.
All right.
We have to do better than last year, because I barely trained for the bike or the run last year. So
there's no question, Jay.
Now we have our own bike.
That's right.
We're ready to go.
I like how it's a we, you know, yeah. Like I like to feel like I'm involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone's involved.
Get to be a part of this.
Everyone, you know, it's a team effort no matter what. When someone's training for like a big race like this, it's like, yeah, Beth, like, you know, you might be when Beth's training for the marathon, like she's obviously the one like actually out there running and stuff. But like it is a group effort to make sure that she can get out there and run.
Oh, I know.
And do it.
It almost feels like an event seismic to that of like a birthday, if not even bigger. It's like, you know, like if Beth is doing marathon day or whatever, it's like the family chat is dialed in, everybody's got the app open. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like people are like sending like, oh my gosh, she just hit the 17 mile mark or whatever. Like, you know, not to mention, you know, like you holding down like home front type things during training runs,
right,
which are extensively long. So I mean, yeah, it's there's so much that like folds into the big equation to make these things happen.
Yeah.
It takes a village, as they say.
It takes a village, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Transition. Okay, Jay, I'm having like a delightful little like parenting like occasion. Which is like it's so silly and it's so simple, and yet I'm still like in love with it, which is that for Addison's birthday last October, I, as if I forgot, I got her like this little like Power Wheels like ATV.
Okay.
Fun. But it was like I went for like the like sort of like not secondary market, like it was used, but like people who take them and like kind of amplify them into like slightly better rigs. So it's got like, you know, like a rubberized kind of tire instead of like a plastic tire, and it's got like a stronger motor, and it's actually
got like an aftermarket like ATV.
It's not like an aftermarket ATV. It's still like plastic. It's still like a Power Wheels, but it's got like heightened material. So like there's like a leather seat. It's got like I say, like the soft rubber wheels. It's got like a faster motor, four-wheel drive, lights, like a radio or whatever.
Wow.
So I mean, yeah, it's got some bits and bobs.
There you go. Yeah, it's got the bells and whistles.
It does. And like, this is like one of those things where like, if you've ever seen like a dune buggy or like an alter terrain vehicle, or like, you know, any of those like dedicated like mud bogging off-roading machines, like this is like the part of me that like, we grew up like in Franklin County, Virginia, and it like took a hold of me, and I've never been able to let it go. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like the boat. It's like, I would love to have like a trailer and go out in the woods and just like haul butt and, you know,
yeah,
play in the dirt, but differently than gardening, playing in the dirt.
Right. Yeah. Like on a motor vehicle. Yeah.
And I had a friend like in high school who had like a cabin in the woods, and he had like a row of like, you know, like full-sized ATVs. And I remember like going out there with him like on two different occasions, and like they stand out to me as like two of like my favorite days, where we were just like blitzing through the woods, like, you know, carving in between everything. And I mean, I just love it. Like, and I don't know how to describe it. I don't know why it's such like a part of my DNA, but
no, it's awesome. It's fun.
It is. Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things where like I have growing up, I feel like dad's whole thing, you know, again, going back to the cycling stuff, he liked man-powered machines. That was sort of like the idea.
Right.
You know, you pedal yourself, you propel yourself forward. And obviously we like mountain biking and right, all the other things as well, where it's like you're carving through the trees on your own volition, mm-hmm, versus, you know, having like a motor behind you. But at the same rate, there's like a big part of me that was always like, oh man, I really like this stuff. I would really love to like, you know, do something with Addison at some point in time. So I get her like this little, you know, electric ATV. And so we're, you know, and we have like the smallest yard. I think that I was looking this up on like the GIS the other day for my home. And I want to say like my entire property, my whole plot of land, I think is 5,000 square feet. That's not my house. That's the land,
right,
that the house sits on, of which the house takes up a considerable portion.
Sure.
Of.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who have houses as big as my land.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so there's really not that much space or anything. But when I gave it to her back in October, she really like was not strong enough to like turn the handlebars or anything. So for the most part, every single occasion we were ever on it together, I was riding it and she was like sitting on my lap. And so I've got like my knees tucked in and I'm like trying to like maneuver, you know,
right,
with my full grown self on a child's,
right,
electric ATV.
Probably a little more weight than the battery is built for.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. You know, but we went through the winter season or whatever. You know, we've been dying to get out of the house because of the renovation and, you know, how much the house is just sort of occupied. So we've been getting out. We busted it out. We got it all charged up. Found the charger, you know, which is
nice.
half the battle.
That is half
time.
The battle. I know. I'm like, we have like a Jeep Power Wheel. And I'm like, should fire that up for the kids. And I'm like, oh, but can we find the charger?
It is like the great debate.
It's like, did last year self remind, like, do the thing where like you just put it in there with the battery so that when you have this problem next year, it's already solved? Did I do that? I forget, but maybe we did.
Maybe you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be so funny if you're like looking everywhere and you like crack open the lid to be like, maybe it's in here. And it's like, it's literally like in the hood.
Wow. So, good job, past self.
Past me was brilliant. Current me sucks for not remembering that I did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just been, here's the thing about it, because I know this is going to sound like so silly, but so we get out there this time and Addison's like, can I try to drive it by myself? And I was like, absolutely you can. Like, that is the whole point here.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been riding her bike a lot, which I think has kind of given her like a better idea of like what steering is like, you know, to like kind of maneuver or whatever.
Right.
And so she's out there and like the way that like she turns it and like leans and like is shifting her weight and like, you know, lifting her like butt off of the seat or whatever to like go over like a bump. Like,
right.
I am just, it's like, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Like you've got like the like innate, like this is how to move your body on this thing.
Exactly.
Right. To be more comfortable.
Yes. It's like, I'm like, oh, I cannot believe how like agile and nimble and like just exactly correct you look doing this. So she, it's like one of those things where it's like your kids, like when they get like fixated on a specific activity, a lot of times they're like, hey, can we go do like the thing or whatever, and sometimes you get tired of it, which I think is just, you know, human nature,
right?
Especially like when they're a little bit younger and there's not like a whole lot of like intellect involved with the games that they're interested in playing. But this is like one of those where like, well, I will go and stand in the middle of the yard and just spin in circles and watch her go until the battery dies. You know, and it's like,
you got to build her some, like, you know, this is what you need dirt for, you know?
I know.
Put like piles of dirt back there.
Yes. I mean, and there's actually big piles of like lumber from, again, the renovation type stuff. And I literally was about to go through and start like using them as like little like barriers and things for her to like roll over and,
yeah,
you know, really engage that four-wheel drive.
Absolutely.
You know, this is, there's a song that makes me cry, like, every single time I listen to it. It's from Alan Jackson. It's called Drive.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of the song, it like starts with driving like a boat that like the family purchases together, and like how free, you know, he feels driving the boat, like,
right,
the open water or whatever. And then it shifts to like learning how to drive like a pickup truck, and it's just like an old hand-me-down Ford or whatever. And then it's a country song, obviously, in case this wasn't like extremely obvious.
Yeah, right,
based,
yeah,
on everything I'm saying. And then it ends with like, you know, now I'm grown, have like a pasture of my own, and, you know, three daughters and stuff, and I'm teaching them how to drive like the old Jeep. And it's sort of like, it's just, I don't know, it's like, I resonate with the song because like I was taught to drive a boat like with dad and grandpa,
right,
in the boat that, like, you know, one of the boats that I now have.
Yep.
And it's like just this wonderful mix of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And grandpa had this like 1960 Ford truck that had like 3-speed in the column, you know,
right,
that,
yeah,
that like you were driving when,
yeah,
we were
like down around, like just around their like the pasture behind their house,
literally.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like it was from a country song.
Oh, it really was. I mean, it was super fun driving around out there.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, then it's just sort of like, you know, my like childhood dream car was like a Jeep Wrangler, so like, you know, then it's sort of like the idea of like Addison someday like doing that type of stuff. I don't know, it's all just like,
yeah,
it's just been really wonderful and glorious. And it makes me think back to like when I was vlogging, right, when Addison was born and we got like a little snow, and I remember I was like talking in the vlog about how excited I was because ever since I knew I was expecting, or we were expecting, you know, when she was, you know, coming and everything, I would think about like skiing with her and snowboarding and stuff, and, you know, all these different like activities I,
yeah,
just could not wait to do like as a parent. And so we get the first snow and I just want to like take her out there, and I'm like, what a momentous occasion. Like, I have a daughter and I'm in the snow with her.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, she was like, you know, basically in this giant teddy bear like sack thing to keep,
yeah,
to keep her warm. And it was like, we did nothing, you know, we didn't like make a tiny snowman or throw snowballs or sled or, you,
right,
know, you can't do any of it.
But you were in the snow.
But I was in the snow. But now it's like, okay, now I feel like I took like a little step up the stairs, and it's like,
I know. I feel like the boys are probably big enough where they could like do some ski school, you know.
I think you're there.
I think we're there. We could do,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come this winter.
Jay, this could be our year.
This could be our year. You know, they'll be like all, you know, big and strong from eating vegetables out of the garden all summer.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
I mean, we're just priming them for success.
Exactly. You know,
plenty of fiber and, mm-hmm, nutrients,
mm-hmm,
and an appreciation for good soil.
Right? Yes. Yes. You know, making your own compost and stuff.
That's right.
Yep. Oh boy. Speaking of which, my peach tree is coming back again.
Oh yes.
Great. I know this will be like our third year with it. It was, or yeah, in August we'll have had it for 3 years. So that'll be, I'm curious if and when it will start to bear fruit, you know?
Well, that's a funny one too, because so often when it comes to like fruit plants, I feel like a lot of times they'll say like, yeah, you know, even though you planted it, like it's going to take, you know, X number of years before you really start to like see like the fruits of, you know,
yeah,
the growth or whatever.
Right.
But there's like this old saying where it's like the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago.
Exactly.
The next best time is today.
Right.
You know, and it's sort of like you are... It is funny to think that like when you planted the tree, and this is like one of those like updates, I feel like only like the hardcore like little kernels are like, oh, the peach tree.
The peach tree.
You know, it's like, here's the update. But it's like, yeah, now you're like 3 years in
right.
to that equation. So
exactly.
It's like, let's just even say it takes like five more. It's like, well, you know, if you told me today it was going to take eight, it's like, well, that's too bad. Eight's a long time.
It's a long
like,
time, but at least we're three in. So
yeah, you can go tick, tick, tick,
tick, tick, tick right there. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Done.
It does look very pretty.
I know. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it has gotten bigger. And like, I remember the first year after we planted it, it's like, yeah, you got to fall and all the leaves fell off. And you're like, well, what if it just died? What if that's it? What if it's died? I know that's what it's supposed to do with the fall. But like, what if it goes to the winter and then the summer comes and no leaves grow back? And guess what? They're coming back.
They're coming back.
Which means, and it's like, as far as I know, like, you know, it's not like that, as long as that tree is successfully planted in the ground, it will eventually do its thing, you know?
Right.
Right. It's not like it hasn't died.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no reason for it to.
Everything's going to be fine.
Everything's good. Fine. It is taking root. Right. We're good.
Yes. It's funny you bring that up too, because there's like going through the seasons or whatever, because I was chatting with Alice this morning about like, you know, I feel like in my 20s, almost like a first date question or something that people seem to ask, like an icebreaker question would be like, what's your favorite season? Because I feel like it says like a lot about the person.
Right.
The thing I was realizing this morning, because everything's like in bloom, you know, because it's spring,
right,
is like your favorite seasons, I feel like, shift dramatically with your season of life.
Oh yeah.
You know, which is like, it feels like it just goes hand in hand, but it also somehow doesn't. But you know, like when you're a kid, there is nothing better than summer. It's like,
right,
no school,
that's it.
You get to go to the pool, it's warm, maybe go to the beach. Like, there's so much fun stuff to do.
There's no reason when you're a kid for any season to be your favorite besides summer, because you don't have to go to school.
Right.
Like, that is hands down the benefit summer offers that outweighs every other season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I also feel like there's a huge argument to be made for winter, because you've got like the holidays and snow.
Right.
And again, you get like a, like the mid-year break from school.
Yeah. You know, you're, you off probably for have like, some big breaks.
Yeah. Like 7 to 10 days or something, depending on how the days all land.
Right.
And so there's kind of like a mystique to the winter.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of tradition probably built in, you know, there's a lot of, yeah, there's Thanksgiving, there's Christmas, there's New Year's. January is the worst, but that's true of everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then I feel like as I got like a little bit older, I was like, man, fall has kind of got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like the changing leaves, like, you know, sort of that like comfortable backyard campfire, like weather, you know, like everything's kind of like beautiful.
Yeah.
and like whatever. Then like football season comes back. So,
right,
you know, like for a big spell it was just sort of like, oh man, we've got season tickets to Virginia Tech games.
Right.
Like, we're gonna go hit that. But I will tell you, right, I'll tell you what, like my yard is like in bloom right now, or like in the process of becoming in bloom, and I am like, man, I love the first few weeks of spring. Spring has sprung, and it's like now we have to plant our gardens.
Rebirth.
I know. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I am like, I have had a reason, an argument to be made for each season of the year. And at this point in time, it's like, I think that the reality isn't that spring is my favorite like season. It's just, I think that as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate facets of each season.
Absolutely. I mean, it's sow time, you know, it's time to sow the seeds.
Exactly.
We're doing it. I think as you become further into adulthood too, like summer becomes like, it's way lower on your tiers.
It is
seasons, because yeah, like, you know what the summer is when you're an adult? Now it's just hot.
It's
everything hot. Else is the same, but it's hot.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, you could say the same for winter, where it's like everything's the same and now it's cold.
Right.
But you know, I think this year I'm very excited because we have the dock. I think I mentioned that last week.
We do have the dock. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Plus all of our plants will be growing, you know, all summer.
Precisely. You know, precisely.
It's going to be good.
Yep. But this is something that Dad said that I can never like forget. debt at this point in time, but he's like, all of like your yard maintenance and, you know, the mulch and shrubs and all that type of stuff, it's like, it's all basically from the beginning of spring through July 4th weekend, or July 4th. And it's like, pretty much after that, it gets too hot and everything is like burnt to a crisp.
Right.
And it's like, I feel like I've never been able to like unsee that reality.
Oh.
You know, where it's like, I'm like doing all this stuff right now, you know, I like fill my flower boxes, trying to get it all ready, you know, like fresh Miracle-Gro and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of like, man, I am like, I'm doing all this again, you know, we'll call it April 1st for easy math, but it's like for April, May, June, you know, it's like all of this effort is for the next 3 months worth of like wingspan.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like, well,
who knows?
Now it's 9,000 degrees
now
outside.
Now it's 9,000 degrees outside. Your crops will still grow.
The crops will still grow. That part will still be fun.
So you have to do that part.
Yeah.
What are you going to grow?
Well, I think I mentioned this before. I really want to try to grow a tomato tree.
Oh, a tomato tree.
Which is just the same thing as a tomato plant, but it's all about how you like train the vine, and like I'm going to try to have this like top shelf like trellis system, like where all the like leaves and fruit are, and like down below it's just basically like a big long stem. So you could also picture like maybe like a lollipop type situation.
I see.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I know. It's occurred to me that I could try and do like the thing where you put like arches between your beds.
Oh yeah.
You know, have little like them have stuff grow up the arches, as it were.
Hey.
Could be cool.
Man, at what point in time do we just become like, it's like a podcast but gardening?
It's a podcast but gardening, you know. We're a garden podcast.
It's just two amateurs put their heads together to try to grow a tomato.
That's right. We're not great at the thing about the tomatoes is that my friend Nora typically just grows all the seedlings, and then she does too many and just gives me the leftovers. So that's kind of my starting spot with tomatoes every year.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Puts me in a good spot. You know?
I bet so. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, like home sprouted.
I know. Because like for some reason, like I know like so many people, like I just like growing stuff from seed, like just put it in the ground and wait, you know.
Right.
But like people are like, you should definitely just grow it inside first and then put it in the ground once it's like grown. And I'm like, that seems like not the way to do it for some reason.
Counterintuitive.
Like, is that how nature would do it, though? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, what was Johnny Appleseed when he was out there? You know?
He's just tossing apple seeds, man. He's just whatever's going to happen, you know?
Is there any truth to the Johnny Appleseed thing? Because like, I feel like when I was like kindergarten through like third grade, Johnny Appleseed was like everywhere.
He's like a big deal.
Yeah. And it's like growing into adulthood, it's like, I don't think anybody brings up Johnny Appleseed ever.
Not enough. I mean, I remember he like wandered the countryside tossing apple seeds across the place growing apples and wore like a pot for a hat, right? That's like the
storybook version, but it's like, is it based on like a real person?
I think it is based on a real person. I don't think it's just like a storybook version. I think the part that's less storybook is that it wasn't like he was out there growing, is that they're growing apples for like cider, not for eating,
right?
You know?
So like to get,
and
like
by
a
cider I mean like alcoholic,
yes like
mash,
a true red apple tree or you know, like delicious Granny Smith apple or whatever. Like I think a lot of those are like grafted because you have to get like win a lottery and have your seed, like you can't
and by
take...
a lot of them he means all of them.
What do you mean?
Like if you have a strain of apple that a good tasting apple,
right?
They all have the same ancestor.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Correct. So you can't take like a red apple seed, plant it in the ground, and grow a red apple tree.
Right. No, that's not how it works.
You're like a crab apple tree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't grow what they came from. They just grow apple tree.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. But if you win the lottery and get a crab apple tree that produces amazing, sweet tasting, edible apples, great news. You can take branches off that tree and graft them into other trees and then just sell that forever.
Boom,
and
bam.
Boom, bam. You're an apple orchard person.
You are now set for life.
Now you've got it. You designed next big apple.
How hard? Yeah, big apple.
Yeah, big the big apple.
I'm pretty sure there's
not
a tech company
confused.
And a city.
Yeah, not to be confused with New York City or like your iPhone.
Right, yeah, exactly. So take it down, big apple, because you got one good seed.
I mean, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Was Johnny Appleseed a real person? Hold on. I mean, absolutely he was, but let's see. Johnny Appleseed real? Question mark?
Nice, nice. Good entry.
Johnny Appleseed was born John Chapman, was a real-life 1800s pioneer, nurseryman, and folk hero. He planted apple seeds ahead of westward-moving settlers, creating thousands of acres of orchards across the American Midwest. Chapman was known for his generosity, often giving away trees. He planted small tart apples called spitters that were ideal for hard cider, a popular drink in the early 1800s due to unsafe water. Well, there you go.
Howdy.
Boom, bam.
Howdy. Okay, so not a bad legacy, question mark, maybe?
No, I think probably pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay, yeah. How about that? Who knew? But yeah, I mean, I feel like the part of it like that they teach you, or like the coloring book version that we would do in, you know, first grade or something, it seemed like he was just like barefoot walking down the street with like a tattered
shirt.
Like
a sack of apple seeds.
Exactly. And just, or even just like eating an apple out of like a bushel and just like sort of throwing the cob onto the ground, or the core, not the cob. And it just like would inevitably be buried by nature, and nature doing nature things. And like, you know, if you were to drive the United States, you'd be like, yeah, that's one of his original trees.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like no birds in any of those seeds or anything.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. They just all turned into real trees.
Good.
Yeah. He must have had to be a little bit more intentional than just tossing seeds off the side.
That is the orchardman part of it makes me think that he was maybe just like, you know, going and finding big plots of land, speaking to the farmer and being like, hey, I have a bunch of apple seeds. We should definitely go fill that field with apples.
Right.
You know?
Could be.
Yeah.
But he said he was going ahead of settlers.
Oh, well, I guess that's true.
But I mean, you could still just find a field and just be like, I'm just going to dig a couple rows here, fill them with apple seeds, and move on. Not check it.
Right. Yeah, true. Right. True. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Maybe like in a time
he's like he's like an eco-terrorist, but for a good, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
Just like, I'm just going to have unmitigated apple trees everywhere.
Everywhere.
Who's going to stop me? No one. There's no one here.
I love it.
Yeah. That'd be such a fun, I don't know, prank.
Yeah, it would be a strange one for sure.
Right? Like who's to stop you from just going out in the woods and being like, and just planting a bunch of apple trees, you know?
Well, I mean, you'd probably need enough like clearing.
Well, yeah.
For it to potentially exist, but I mean, I guess that's a good point.
I mean, do you? Would the tree not just grow, you know? The other trees are there.
I guess they are, but I mean, I don't know the answer to this question.
Okay.
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 Yeah. Anyway.
Wouldn't that be like great though to go like wander through the woods and anytime you found a clearing, just go plant like a bunch of trees.
Just like
apple trees in the middle of nowhere. And someone's like, what is this?
Yeah. Could you imagine like hiking the AT and all of a sudden it's like, what is that?
Yeah.
Those apple apples?
Tree? Yeah.
Why are they doing? Why?
Why? Why? I mean, ideally, I guess you'd have like good apples too.
Oh, yeah. So
that'd be the best.
So maybe you're bringing like grafted saplings.
You're bringing like grafted saplings. You're being a little more scientific about it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I love this idea. Just sort of like rogue, like chaotic neutral planting of trees in places that people aren't expecting.
You're really making me want to plant an apple tree just like in my front yard.
I mean, please do that.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
It'd be like this like adorable little Tudor house with like an apple tree in the front yard. People would be like, what?
Everyone would love it. Everyone would love it. You'd need a little fence around it so the deer don't get to it, but I think you'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
How great would that be? You know when the best time to plant a tree has been? 20 years ago. So get to it.
People could call me Benny Appleseed.
Benny Appleseed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I'm taking the title from you.
You're taking it from because you grew one apple tree in your front yard.
It counts.
That's okay.
It still counts.
Right. Yeah. Still counts. Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's good.
I guess I'm Johnny Peachseed then.
That's right. Johnny Peachseed. Oh, boy. I really enjoy this. Okay, guys. So that's going to bring us to the end of today's episode, though. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into The Pop and all of our ridiculous gardening/triathlon/proud of our children moments.
Yeah.
Hopefully it continues to be a bright spot in your day. As per always, if you've got any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com, or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.